Let the church say amen once again. If you don't want to say amen, just think about the alternative. You didn't have to be here this morning. So you ought to say amen and thank God that you are here and you are able to be here with us this morning. Many that started on this journey the same time you and I did are not with us any longer. So let us remember to thank God for each and every day that we get and ask Him to bless us with a few more. It's good to see everyone this morning, and I do realize that there are some who are missing, some who are sick, some who are shut in, some who are just not able to be with us this morning. So as we go to God in prayer, let us remember those who are sick and shut in. O great Father, which art in heaven, once again, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you because you have left us here. We want to thank you because you have given us this opportunity to come out and be a part and hear another portion of your undying word. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in this congregation. We thank you for those that may be visiting with us. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who may be on their way still trying to get here. We pray that they would have safe passage to get here. We pray this morning for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families. We pray for each and every member in their family, and especially we pray for those who are sick this morning. We pray for those who are grieving this morning, and we pray and thank you, Father, that you would strengthen each and every one of us. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into the next portion of our services, we pray and ask you that if they're found favorable and acceptable in thy sight, please bless us this morning, O Heavenly Father. Thanking you this morning, Father, for your Son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. We thank you this morning for this day that has been presented unto us, and we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Please, Father, be with us now as we move on. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who went to Calvary's Hill, we ask it all. Let us say, amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the second chapter of the book of Revelation. The brother read verse 4 and verse number 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art falling, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This morning we want to talk about continuing thy first works. Today, where we live, this world is an ever-changing world. We are constantly looking for new and some say better ways to do things, to make things faster, to make things easier. No one has any time like we used to have for the old and, in most cases, the better ways. A few years ago, someone would request a few sheets of typing paper. Today it's called printing or copy paper. A sheet of carbon paper meant that one wanted to have a duplicate of their document. So they would take a piece of carbon paper and put it in between two sheets of paper, typing paper, if you will. And it would leave, carbon paper would leave fingers smudged, but that's all that we had at that time. And that's all that we knew. Once there were deals, and deals were conducted, were completed with a handshake. Today, a confirmation or a closing of a deal is by text message or email. We are better off, some say, or are we just faster? Where is the personal touch? Where is the thank you that we used to get from merchants? Where is the thank you from people that we purchase goods from anymore? Yes, I guess technology can be both good and bad. But today's text has Jesus speaking to the church of Ephesus, telling them how that they had become a distant and had abandoned their first love. So I ask the question this morning, do we need a new and a modern way to worship the Lord? We must first remember one thing. We must first love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and with all of our mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And number two is just like the first. We must love our neighbors as we love thyself. This is according to Matthew 22 and verse number 37 and verse number 30 through verse number 39. I think if we would just stick with the Bible, we would be much better off. If we just continue in the way of God's word, we would be a lot better off. We don't need a new method. We need the same old method. We need the same way that we worship God in the past. We need those ways. And I know that there are many people who believe that just the new way is much better. But God never gave us any instructions to change the way we worship Him. So we must continue to speak Christ. In the text, when Jesus speaks to the church there at Ephesus, He lets them know that He knows their works. Jesus knows our every working, not simply by the years and months, but down to every hour and every day. Notice verse number 4 again. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." The church, nor its members who make up the church, are in good standing when we leave our first love. He was speaking of a falling away from the love and from the zeal once shared of Christ and His teachings. Let every member think upon him or herself and ask him or herself this question. Do you still have the same warm feeling about church that as you did when you first became a member? Do you find that, like some other members, you have lost that warm and fuzzy feeling? Do you say on Sunday morning, "I'm not going to rush today because I'll be there when I get there"? Or do you feel like you don't need to speak to some of your brothers and sisters because it was just last week that you spoke to the same people, so I don't need to speak this week? And have you forgotten and lost that loving feeling that we should have toward one another? Have you forgot that we're all God's children and we're all heading in the same direction? We're all trying to get to heaven. At least I would hope that's where we're all trying to go. The Word of God can help us continue in that same manner as when we started out, back when we first became a Christian, in other words. And somebody may say, "Well, how can he do that? Because he still answers prayer." According to Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you." When we find ourselves beginning to feel more empty than full, when the spark that you once felt is no longer felt, ask the Lord to renew your spirit, like the psalmist asked in Psalms 51 around verse 10, when he asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. When your spirit becomes weak, your heart becomes weak. Or maybe we should reverse it. When your heart becomes weak, your spirit also becomes weak. God is still in the business of supplying our needs as well. In Philippians chapter 4 and the verses around 19, "But my God shall supply all your needs. For our God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother," according to Proverbs chapter 18. Then we must continue to work. Oh, this is what gets some of our church folk, if you will. This is where some of our church folk fall by the wayside. They don't want to continue to work. They wanted to work when they first became members, but they lose their zeal to work. But we've got to continue to work. Working for the Lord is ongoing and must continue whether times are good or whether times be bad. When times are bad, we like to ask God for all that we can get from God. But when times are good, sometimes we turn our backs on God. And we say, "Lord," we're saying this in essence, "Lord, I don't need you anymore because I've gotten what I needed from you. So I don't need to ask you anything else." But you still need God's blessing each and every day that you live up on this earth. You still need God. So then when I went over in the Bible and I began to look at Titus chapter 3 and verses number 7 and 8, this is what the Bible said. "Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." But then verse number 8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and in these things I will that affirm constantly, that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You've got to continue your good works. All believers should be mindful of verse number 7, that we as heirs are justified by the grace of God. Eternal life has been placed before us. It requires us to maintain good works. The church, I speak of the church. The church must strive to remind the members how good and wonderful that what God has done for us and that what He is still doing for us. What are good works, somebody may ask? Well, prayer is a good work. Another good work is that of reaching out to help and to encourage others. And I may as well tell you, some of us fall short when it comes to reaching out and encouraging others. Some of us don't like to whisper in one another's ear or reach out to one another and say, "You're doing a good job, Brother Jackson or Brother Burnside. You're doing a good job." We don't like to encourage others on coming to church. We don't like to say, "You ought to be in church with me each and every Sunday morning." We don't like to say that God is good all the time and He's good to you too because He left you here. James 1 and 27 tells us pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is that visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now this text tells us something. It gives us a clear and precise look at what pure religion is. False religion is spotted with impurity and improper thoughts in the ways of men. But the Word of God tells us to do that which is righteous. And we are warned in John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 10, "He that does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So when the Bible tells us, where it just told us in James 1 and 27, it told us to visit the fatherless and the widows. The question should not be, whom should we visit? Because we've already been told whom to visit. But instead, the statement ought to be, let us go visit the fatherless and the widows. The reason I believe that this group was picked out is because they're usually the most likely to need help during their afflictions. How many widows and fatherless do you know that you visited lately? How many fatherless children have you reached your hand out for and say, "Get up, I'm going to pick you up from where you're at right now"? How many widows have you asked the question, "How are you doing today? How is your life going? How are things going with you?" But I believe that when Deuteronomy spoke in chapter 24 regarding widows, the fatherless and the widows, somewhere around about verse number 17, it said something to the effect that we are not to pervert the judgment of the fatherless nor take the raiment of widows. And then in verses 19 through verse number 22, it speaks of when you were out in the tilling the ground or working in the ground in the vineyard for the fatherless and the widows, so you are supposed to leave stuff for them so that they may get food when they have a need of food. And so the church has a duty to reach out to the fatherless and the widows. And some might say, "Well, I don't know any fatherless and any widows." Well, have you checked lately? There are plenty of them around. Have you checked lately to make sure that we are covering all of our bases? I believe that the Bible is pretty close to telling us just what we ought to be doing. And we ought to be following the Bible, because if we don't follow the Bible, the question becomes, why are we here in church? If we don't follow the Word of God, why are we here? What's our purpose if we're not going to hear God's Word and follow God's Word? So when we must visit those, and we must speak the Word of God at all times. And I know that many folk in the church do this. And I'm not condoning or condemning anyone in the church this morning, but I'm talking to all of us, from myself all the way back to the back door. The church must become a leader for its members. And Brother Smith put it quite well this morning when he said, if the church is not being led, then it's being followed, then the ones who are following the church are following the church into the wrong direction. If we were not leading in the right direction, we must continue to walk. When we examine the text again, I want you to notice the text in verse number 5 here. Look what the text says. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work. Now, the first work, remember how zealful you were, how ready for action you were when you first became a member of the Lord's body. Remember how that you couldn't wait to get in church and start to work. Some folk, before they become a member, they already want to work. Some folk, when they get in and become a member, they can't wait to be assigned something to do in the church. But then, just sometime in a little while along the line, they began to kind of fall away. But the Bible tells us that, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. We've got to go back to the first works. We've got to remember, we've got to do our first work. Remember from where we started from. Take an inventory of yourself and see where you are at. Repent of your faults. Go back to how we were when we first started out. We must remember how that we walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We can't see God, but we must believe in God. The church has the responsibility to teach its members until they can come to see the Lord. The church must instill in its membership that in verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it teaches us while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So we cannot see the Lord, but we can see His handiwork around us. The church must be edified, so that the Lord will be glorified. And it's up to the members to do the edifying. And as I said a minute ago, some folk don't know how to edify. Some folk just don't know how to do that. They say that if I tell brother or sister so-and-so something of good, it'll go to their head. Well, how do you know? How do you know it'll go to your head? Maybe because it'll go to your head doesn't mean it'll go to their head. But maybe, just maybe, it'll lift them up enough that they become a better Christian. And it may be because of something you say to them. We must continue to walk in love according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2. We walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. God gave Himself for us. God gave Himself to us for us. The church must teach love to its members. How can the members love each other if the church is not teaching how to love? How can the members love one another when they don't know what the word love means? And I'm not talking about the kind of love that you give to your husband, wife, girlfriend, or boyfriend. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love where you'll know the love that God has given unto us. Members must be loved, must love each other, and they must be taught to love each other. Until the members of the body are willing to love one another as Christ loved us, we stand a guilty distance from God's throne. We must continue to walk in truth as we have been commanded. In 2 John chapter 4, 2 John verse number 4, John wrote these words. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. He found them walking in truth. Now, how are you walking this morning? How are you walking? We as members of the body must allow our lives to be managed by the Word of God. And it's the business of the church to teach the Word without addition or subtraction. Therefore, the position of the church should always be as Jesus stated in Revelation chapter 4 and verse Chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5 there. He said in verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art falling and repent and do the first work. You've got to go. We have got to go back to our first love and our first works. The church should always be, as Jesus stated, return to our first love and to our first works. The church will never grow until the members grow, and the members cannot grow until they are taught to love the Lord thy God, and then to love and be love thy neighbor as thyself. No matter how the building may look, no matter how many influential members there may be in the church, until the love of God and His righteousness is practiced, preached, and taught, the church will never be right with God. Nor the members will not be right until they are taught and preached, teached, and taught. Preached and taught, rather. I speak of the church, and I'm not speaking of this building that we're in this morning. Because this building in itself cannot teach us anything. The only thing this building can do for us is to shelter us from the weather, from the storms, and keep us warm in the winter and keep us cold or cool in the summertime. But this building cannot teach us anything. It's up to the leaders and the members, the leaders to teach the members and for the members to learn. So when I speak of this church, I don't speak of this building that I speak. I don't speak of this building, but I speak of the teachers, the leaders, and the preachers. We must teach the members what they need to know in order to get to heaven. And you know, that's something when you think about it. If I came in here and I taught you about the ways to find love out in the street, I would probably have this building full, Brother Jackson. The pews would be full if we taught on... If we said we're going to have a seminar and we're going to teach on winning over at the casino, you know, that's one of my favorite things. If we had a seminar on that, we would fill up the pews. We would probably even have people in the balcony because they would think that since we are close to God, we know the winning secret. But we don't know the winning secret. But since we don't teach on that and we just teach on the Bible, on the Word of God, we'll never have a full building until we teach it the right way. So when the leaders, the teachers, and the preachers teach the members what they need to know in order to get to heaven, and not simply what they want to hear to make them feel good. Oh, you want a feel-good sermon? That may not be a true sermon. Oh, you want a feel-good lesson on Sunday morning? That may not be a godly lesson. It may be just something to wet your whistle, something to make you feel a little fuzzy and warm inside. And if it means teaching the same thing over and over that has been taught before, then that's all right. Just teach it over and over until the church gets it. Do you remember John the Baptist? What did he teach on? How many sermons did he have? He taught on repent and come to the kingdom of heaven. That's all he talked about. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in other words. Therefore, the church and its members must learn that the Word of God is the only word we need to know. And it's the only word that we should be taught. As I said before, if you want to have a feel-good message, we can do that. But that won't be right. If you want to have a message that has some meaning and some teeth in it, then we've got to go right here. We've got to go right here to God's Word. And I may as well tell you, I don't know what time it is because I forgot my watch this morning. So hopefully I got a couple more minutes so I can get through this. But I'll tell you something, church. Until you open your hearts and your mind and are ready to accept the engrafted Word of God, no matter what the church teaches, whether it's right or wrong, you are not going to get it. But that don't mean somebody else won't get it. So we have to teach that is right and that from the Word of God. Whether you get it or not, somebody else may get it. So when the Bible says, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." But then that word there that comes into play, the key word here is remember. Therefore, when thou art falling, and repent and do the first work. In other words, go back. Go back to where you were. If you've left
your first love, if you've left your first works, you need to go backwards. You need to track backwards. You need to ask yourself, how was I different when I first became a member of the Lord's body? What was I doing that I'm not doing now? And you know, many of us, we get itchy sometimes. And we'll stop coming to church. And when we stop coming to church, we start wondering if church was where I was supposed to be in the first place. That's not a good thought. That's a dangerous thought, church. It's a dangerous thought when you think that the church wasn't where you were supposed to be and the streets have no directions to give you to get to heaven, but the church has all the directions to give you on getting to heaven. It's just, you just ask yourself the question, is the church teaching what we need to know? So when you think about it, the Word of God are the only words that offer safety for our souls and heaven as our eternal home. So I ask you the question this morning, which do you want to be a part of? Which do you want to serve in? Which do you think that is the right way? Which do you think would be the way to go and the way to learn from, the way to be taught? Would you want to be taught from the Word of God or would you want to be taught from the street? And so I asked the question this morning, if you want to be taught from the Word of God, pick up your Bibles, open it up, and when you open it up, find the spot. And when you find the spot, you prayerfully go into that spot and start reading the Word of God. You start learning the Word of God. And don't be afraid to pick up the phone to call Brother Jackson or Brother Burnside. Ask them, or even me, ask us, what thus saith the Lord? What does this mean? What does that mean? And I'll guarantee you that one of us ought to be able to explain it to you. And if I'm the one you call and I don't know, I say, can I take your number? I'll call you back. I got to do some research on it myself. Because I don't know everything. I promise you I don't know everything. And if anybody in here tells me they know everything, I promise you they don't either. So when you boil it all down, when you think about it, when you think about the Word of God, it contains everything for our life's way. Everything for our life's beginning. Everything for our life's ending. It teaches us all the way from the beginning, all the way through the end. And then there's something in there that we need to take hold of. And I know that all of us in here probably know it already, but I'm going to run it by you again just for the sake of you hearing it all over again. You know the right church. You've heard that the church is the right church. This church, the church of Christ. Not this building, but this church is the church of Christ. And you know where it's found that upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. And then many of you, and I won't say me because I don't count myself in it, many of you have been in the church since you were infants or youths, I should say. Many of you were baptized at an early age in the church. And it was all right back then. So I need to ask the question this morning, what happened to you? Why did you leave it? And I'll give you my experience. And I left it because I didn't think I was ready for it. But I wound up back in it anyway. I came back to church anyhow. I came back to where I started at. And when you come back to where you started at, you search yourself. And you ask yourself the question. You ask yourself, what did I do then, Lord, that made me know that it was the right church? And how can I continue in my first works? What happened to my first love? And men can relate to it. Men can say to themselves, I never forgot my first love. I never forgot Susie. Women can relate to it too, but men more so. So I ask the question once again this morning. Have you left your first love? Have you left your first works? examine yourself. And if you have, you need to come back. Repent and come back. Remember. That's what the Bible says. Remember. And so how do I do this, preacher? Well, you do it simply the way we tell you each and every Sunday when we stand before you. You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You repent of your past sins. You confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. And then you get baptized. Somewhere in your quest in life, you went astray. But that's all right. There's provisions for you to come back also. You ask God to forgive you. Ask the church, come forward. Ask the church to pray for you that you may gather the strength you need to continue in your first love. This is your desire. If this is your desire, you have that opportunity as we now together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 235.